looking, I believe the messages from God's Word, I don't think it's a whole lot more encouraging than the message today, or more practical than the message today. Okay, I believe it will help us in a lot of ways. I hope you're awake, alive, alert, and enthusiastic about what God has for us today. I'm confident that by the time I get behind the pulpit with the message that God has given me to preach, I'm confident that it is the message that God has for the folks here at Oakmount. And so hopefully you'll receive it, and it will be a blessing to you. Last week we started a series, it'll probably be a short series, on encouragement. And the question that we were answering, where do we find encouragement in life? Where do we find encouragement in life? And I looked up some pretty reliable statistics, like 19.1% of Americans are described as depressed. That's 51 million people in America that are described as depressed. And I'm sure a lot of people cover it up and hide it quite well. So I figured the numbers are actually much higher. Found out also that West Virginians, according to one study, basically have a 30.2% depression rate. That's the highest in the country, in the state of West Virginia. Those are folks that have been diagnosed as depressed and recommended to see a medical professional. And then I, from other studies that I looked at, the one that mentioned how many was depressed, about 50% of Americans would fit under the category of discouraged. Discouraged. So it's a very applicable message today. And I know life can be tough. I'm not one of those rose-colored glasses type of preachers and say that everything is good, everything is fine, there's no problems in life. If you love God enough, you won't be sick. If you love God enough, you'll be rich. That's just not biblical, okay? Life is tough. We go through trials, and as we talked in Sunday school, there's a lot of blessings that we gain going through those trials. We learn to trust God more and grow in our faith and trust in what God can do. And today, where do we find encouragement? Last Sunday, by having a relationship with God, the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. You know, all three parts of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are all linked in Scripture to encouragement. The Bible says Jesus is our advocate, same word as comforter. The Holy Spirit is mentioned as our comforter. So we can rely upon God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to give us encouragement in life. Y'all agree with that? Some of you are looking a little perplexed right now. Can you believe that? Yeah, absolutely. So the Bible calls God the Father the God of all encouragement. So if you want to be encouraged, it starts with a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with this God of the Bible by trusting what Jesus as the Son of God did for you on the cross and asking Him to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior. And it annoys me when preachers get up and say, just pray this quick prayer. You know, pray this quick prayer. I tell you, there's no magic in the words. You have to mean it from your heart. And if you don't mean it from your heart, it's not real. So you got to really believe. But if you want to be encouraged and you're here today and you've never done that, there's never been a point in time that you got down on your knees, prayed to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm an old rotten sinner. I've done things wrong. Forgive me of those sins. I believe Jesus died upon the cross for me as the Son of God, paid for my sin and resurrected back to life. I now confess Jesus as my Savior. There's no magic in those words, but really the magic is, or the power, let's say, better word, is in meaning it from your heart. And if you've never done that, you're living on borrowed time. And if you leave this world, if you breathe your last today, you know I'm not a drama king. I don't play on your emotions, but it is true that you could die today. And if you've not trusted Jesus, you'll end up in a godless place called hell, separated from God, a place of torment. I don't know about you. If I had a choice, I'd choose heaven, wouldn't you? So I'd encourage you to be saved today if you're not. So where do we find encouragement? In a relationship with the God of the universe. Also, Sunday morning, we looked at second place where we find encouragement is by reading and studying the Bible. By reading and studying the Bible. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, I'll just say, quote it to you, or part of it, that we through the patience or comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, when I'm discouraged, if you find me, I told you, I like the book of Philippians, probably my favorite book of the Bible. It's a book of joy, surprisingly written by someone under house arrest in Rome at the time, but it gives me joy. So whenever you find yourself discouraged, just pick up the Bible and read the Bible, and the very words of God will encourage your heart and uplift y'all. It's a good thing. So how or where do we find encouragement? By having a relationship with the God of the universe. Secondly, by reading and studying the book of books, the Bible. And thirdly, last Sunday night, we started looking at the third place we can find encouragement. From fellow believers. From fellow believers. Now, we're going to look a little bit through that, review a little bit through that, and cover some new stuff today. But you know what? Every time, every single time, someone in life encounters you. Now, I don't care if it's a quick little hey or whether it's a 5-minute conversation or a 15-minute conversation or an hour sit down or a 3-hour sit down around a coffee table. I don't care what the context is. I really believe that every time you encounter someone in life, you either help pick them up or you put them down. You know, we as Christians ought to be an encouragement every time we encounter somebody, don't you think? So think about that. When someone encounters me, do they leave me more encouraged or more discouraged? Can I tell you that we need encouragers in this world? Can I tell you that we need encouragers in Christianity? We need people to pump people up and encourage people and say, you can do it. And we need encouragers here at Oakmount. Now, we have a bunch, but we could always use more, don't you think? I really believe that when people encountered Jesus, they were encouraged. When they heard him teach, they were encouraged. Now, I realize the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were not God followers. They were imitations. They were fakes. They were phonies. They were hypocrites. So when Jesus spoke to them, it pricked their heart. And they're like, whoa, I'm not right with God. And they got angry. But the average person on the street that Jesus encountered, I believe that after he encountered it, whether he talked to them for a minute, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, or whatever, they heard him teach an extended time, I believe people left saying, boy, what an encouragement. And I don't know about you, but aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? In life, we definitely need more encouragers. And last Sunday night, I'm going to kind of carry through. See, some of my best illustrations deal with food. How many of you like Moose Tracks ice cream? Remember last Sunday night, I talked about this. How many? Now, come on. How many? Okay, well, yeah, there's several that like it. Now, I'd say that's probably my favorite ice cream. Now, I'm not fanatical about ice cream, but when I have ice cream and I have Moose Tracks, and when I get one of those little tiny chocolate-covered peanut butter things in the ice cream, and it's like, hey, our brother's with us over here. Amen. Now, you'd say that I'm encouraged by those Moose Tracks. You'd say I feel better because I'm eating Moose Tracks, right? I want to be a Moose Tracks kind of encourager for Jesus. Really. And then I use the other thing, and I know some of you say, I like that. Guacamole. I can't say it, I can't spell it, and I don't even like it. So if it's green on my plate, it comes off. If someone put it on there by accident, I take it off or whatever. I don't like guacamole, and I don't like blue cheese. And when someone tries to put blue cheese on my salad, it's a huge mistake because I'll pick off every single thing. You know, you'd say I'm encouraged. Now, me personally, you might fill in the blank with something different. But I'm encouraged when I eat Moose Tracks, but I'm discouraged when someone puts that guacamole on my stuff or puts any of that blue cheese on my stuff. Now, I want to be a Moose Tracks kind of encourager for Jesus. Last Sunday night, we looked at a few things about encouragement coming from fellow believers. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. It'll be on the monitor here in just a moment. But Romans chapter 12, we found out that there is a spiritual gift of exhortation. There is a spiritual gift of exhortation. I spent some time, probably not as much time this morning as I did Sunday night. But see, at salvation, everybody is given a spiritual gift. They're given a spiritual gift, at least one, okay? And when they receive, that's a supernatural endowment to do certain things. And that doesn't mean that that's the only person that can do it. That just means that they have a gift from God that really makes them good at it. Like, for instance, I use the idea of faith. You know, we're all supposed to have faith and trust in God, but if you have the spiritual gift of faith, you get saved and God gives you that gift. You don't look at an old rundown building and say, what a junk heap. You look at a building and say, boy, God could use that for a Bible college. Or God could use it. I mean, God has gifted them with that supernatural ability to step out and to see things in faith. Now, everybody's supposed to have faith. It's the same with exhortation. We should all be encouraging one another, but some people have that gift of exhortation. They're supernaturally endowed by God with that spiritual gift, and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of them helps them fulfill this, and they are really, really good encouragers. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, 7, and 8, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We all receive the same gift, but it's all according to God's grace. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, here it is, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You see, there is the gift of exhortation. Some people are supernaturally endowed by God to encourage one another. Now, there's two sides of that coin, as we talked about Sunday night. The one side of the gift of exhortation says, you know what? You better straighten up and fly right. Because they're encouraging or exhorting people to do right. But on the other side, you can do this. You can do this. Two sides of the coin. Then also last Sunday night, we looked at we can encourage others through the encouragement we have received ourselves from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible very clearly talks about this. We can encourage other people with the encouragement that we have received from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, as soon as I find it here, I said it's one thing for you not to be able to find it. It's something else when the preacher's up here trying to talk and can't find it. It's still there somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Notice, it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and here it is, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherefore we ourselves are comforted of God. There's a whole lot of word comforts in there, isn't there? And what that's saying is when we go through a difficult time, God says, hey, I'm right there with you. I'll be your comfort. And then when we get on the other side of that trial or tribulation or that problem, guess what? We are specially equipped to help someone else go through that same problem. It means a whole lot more to someone to say, you know what? Don't say I understand what you're going through if you really don't understand what they're going through. But if you really can say, you know, I've been there, done that, been through that, you can use the comfort that you receive from God to encourage somebody else. Now, isn't that a blessing? So we can receive encouragement in life from fellow believers. There's a spiritual gift of exhortation. Secondly, we can encourage others through the encouragement that we have received from God. Thirdly, you know, according to Scripture, there's four people that I found. I could have missed somebody. But there's four individuals which are mentioned in the context of encouraging other people. There's four individuals. Now, you hear a whole lot about one, and we're going to get there in just a moment. But there's other people mentioned in Scripture. The first one is Titus. Titus in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Titus is mentioned in the context of encouragement or exhortation. Titus in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. Notice this. Not going to park there too long, but just notice. It says, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation. I need to back up a verse. It says, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation or encouragement wherewith he was encouraged or comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. So what is he saying? Paul is saying, writing to the Corinthian church, guess what? Titus was a huge encouragement to me. He came to me, and he was just an encouragement having him here on our side. But he told me how well you were doing and how sincere you were for the Lord. So what an encouragement. Titus was an encourager. And I probably say this wrong because I heard someone preach on it lately and they said they looked it up and they knew how to say it. And it's not anywhere near how I'm going to say it. Of course, you know I'm from southern West Virginia. I'm not sure there's five words that I say correctly, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm in my own little world and they know me there, okay? Tychicus. T-Y-C-H-I-C-U-S. It's the way I've always said it. Ephesians chapter 6. He's mentioned in the context of being an encourager. Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there or look up at the monitor, Ephesians chapter 6. Notice what it says. He's mentioned twice in the context of being an encourager. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. It says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. And all these words, comfort and encouragement and exhortation, is basically all the same Greek word. And he says, I'm sending him. Now, you wouldn't want to send a discourager, would you, when you send the letter of the Ephesians to the Ephesian people? You don't want to send someone that's going to drag them down, do you? You want to send somebody that's going to pick them up. And it says that Tychicus is going to do this. He's going to pick you up. So he's mentioned in the context of encouragement. And also Tychicus in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is the Colossian church. Notice what's said about Tychicus here. Colossians 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate, know how you're doing, and what? And comfort your hearts. Four individuals in the New Testament that I'm aware of that are mentioned in the context of encouraging others. Titus and Tychicus twice, and then Philemon. If you want to find the book of Philemon, it's a really small, it's only a one chapter book. If you'd find that, it follows the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then Titus. And then Philemon. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. But Philemon is mentioned in the context of encouragement too. And Philemon, verse 7, since there's only one chapter. Now, do you remember the context of Philemon? Basically, Onesimus is a runaway slave that was a slave under Philemon. And so he's sending him back, the runaway slave, Onesimus, back to Philemon. And he's writing to Philemon and giving him a letter, Onesimus, the runaway slave, to take back to Philemon, the one who basically was in charge of that slave. And he says in verse 7 to Philemon, for we have great joy, and here it is, and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints, or the hearts of the saints, are refreshed by thee, brother. So Philemon is an encourager. And he says, you know what? We have great joy and comfort because of the way you're showing love there in the church and what you're doing for the Lord. So we have Titus, we have Tychicus, we have Philemon, and lastly we have Barnabas. Now this is the one you probably heard. You probably heard messages preached on Barnabas, the encourager. If you look to Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4. And this is where we're going to park a little bit more. Acts chapter 4. Isn't this an amazing book? I mean, really, it is. It's an amazing book God has written for us, unlike any other books. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. This is where we're first introduced to Barnabas. Now listen, it says in verse 36 of Acts chapter 4, it says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas." Now who named him? Who was surnamed Barnabas? It says by the apostles, right? So they recognized there was something different about this Joseph, which was surnamed or nicknamed Barnabas by the apostles. They noticed something in him. Then it tells us what it is. Being interpreted, the son of consolation. That would be the same as saying the son of encouragement. A Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Now, we have four people mentioned in Scripture who were known for their comfort, for their encouragement. Titus, Tychicus, Philemon, and Barnabas. I find it interesting about Barnabas that he's called the son of consolation, again, by the apostles who recognized when they were around him how encouraging he was. Now, this is where it gets really, y'all still with me? I'm going to have you get up and do jumping jacks or something. We're going to look at four specific ways from the life of Barnabas that we can encourage one another, okay? And if we don't have time for all four, I'll unplug and we'll cover them later, okay? But do you want to be an encouragement? Do you want to be known as someone, you know, and I mention a name. Do we have any Freds here today? Okay. Say if there was in our church and there was a Fred and I mentioned Fred's name. You automatically think something about Fred when I mention his name, right? You probably picture him. You know, your mind is a photo gallery, so you picture Fred and you think something about Fred. But if I mentioned your name to other people, would they think, now that's an encourager? And you say, well, all right, we're all a work in progress, right? And I hopefully, through the practicality and the relevance of the Word of God, looking at the life of Barnabas, we can come up with some real ways that we can be an encouragement to one another, okay? So four people were named or associated with encouragement. Now we're looking at four ways to be an encouragement to others. If you opened your Bible and you're still there, look at verse 37 of Acts chapter 4, where we just were. Acts chapter 4, verse 37. Notice what it says. This same Barnabas, who was nicknamed Son of Consolation by the apostles, it says, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now you say, what in the world? Why would he do that? We're not commanded in Scripture to continue to do this, but there was a really practical reason why Barnabas and the apostles needed some finances right here at this point. Remember all the people that came to Jerusalem for Pentecost? Remember that? And remember, the Holy Spirit descended, and that's where the local New Testament started. And they started preaching in the language of the people that were there because they was from all over the area and spoke different languages. And they started preaching like, wow, these guys are either drunk or something big's happening here. I mean, that's basically what they said. And they're like, whoa, and they heard the gospel. And do you remember how many got saved? 3,000 souls got saved right then and there, like boom shakalaka. That's pretty good, don't you think? But these people wanted to stick around and hear more preaching and teaching, and they needed to. They're in Jerusalem from the apostles. But I don't know about you. If you had a vacation, it was supposed to last for a week, and it turns into 1 month and maybe 2 months and maybe 3 months, you're going to need a little bit extra money, aren't you? So people were selling what they have and bringing it to the apostles and said, apostles, use this for everybody. Now, that's a pretty selfless act, don't you think? I mean, we see this guy. You can understand why he's called the son of encouragement. Now that's easy just to read. Oh, he had some land, sold it, gave it. I mean, like, oh, no big. That's a pretty big deal. If you own any land, I mean, would you be willing to sell it for a fellow believer and give him all the money and say, here, you need this? I don't. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Y'all agree with that? Now, come on. Now, y'all just start too with it today. Do y'all agree with that? That's a big deal. And I believe that showed the heart of Barnabas. He didn't have to. It wasn't mandated. He voluntarily said, you know what? I'm going to sell my piece of land, and I'm going to bring it to the apostles. Now, we're not told how much or anything. It could have been a huge amount of money. It could have been a little bit of money, but it really was the spirit of what he did that should help us. You say, he was an encouragement. Don't you think those people that the apostles took the money to and maybe split it up, you know, between five of them, who knows, says, you need this money. Don't you think they were like, wow, I'm encouraged because, you know, we'd like to stay here some longer and we'd like to hear some more about Jesus and be grounded in the word more and more among the apostles here. Don't you think, how many of you think that was an encouragement? Raise your right hand. And I realize if you don't raise your right hand, you're probably asleep. Okay. But it was a picture of encouragement. So what can we learn from that? What can we learn from that? Do you realize if you're there today and you say, you know, I want to be an encourager. I want to be encouraged. You know how you can be an encouragement to somebody? By giving something to them. Now, some of you are thinking, whoa, now wait just a minute, preacher. Because you have that hold of that wallet so tight. I realize some people struggle with this. It's like, man. And you heard the expression, they're so tight that they squeak when they walk. I mean, there are some people like that. But I'm not talking about in a huge demonstration. You know, I'm going to go sell my Lamborghini and give them money. Now, I'm not telling you to sell your, I don't know if anybody's got a Lamborghini, but, you know, I'm going to sell this big piece of, I'm not asking to sell property. I'm just saying, if you want to be known as an encourager, do things that are selfless. And it doesn't have to be on the $1 million range or the $100,000 range or the $50,000 range or even the $5,000 range or the $100 range. It can be probably on about the $5 range. what would it mean to somebody for you to bake cookies? You know someone's kind of going through something and they're going through a difficult time and you notice a little bit of discouragement on their face when they were at church. They didn't quite seem to be themselves. And you know, you may know what they're going through and you may not know what they're going through. But you make up in your mind, you know what? I'm going to bake a dozen cookies and take it to them. I mean, do you realize what an encouragement that could be? You know, we really don't, we're a pretty tight-knit bunch. Especially our Wednesday night crowd, because we share prayer concerns. We know a little bit more about things in your life. I mean, we don't force anybody to share, but sometimes people willingly share, you know, some things, prayer requests in particular that they might have. But we're a pretty tight-knit bunch, but we still don't know exactly what's going on in each of our lives, right? And a person could be like under a weight of a ton of bricks right now. I mean, just the burdens of life and everything. And they're about ready to say, I'm just worn out. I just quit. And if you show some encouragement to them, to, for instance, I wouldn't encourage some of you to bake any cookies. I wouldn't trust your cookies. But for a lot of you that are good cooks, good bakers, make some cookies and give it to them. You could make their day. Seriously. You know, just a bunch of cookies. You don't cook. Go get some cookies and put it in one of your platters and they'll think you made them. I don't know. But the point is, be an encouragement to other people. I mean, would that take that much effort to bake cookies? Does it take a whole lot of effort to bake cookies? Now you can get those rolls, right? The roll of cookie dough and just put it on a cookie sheet, put it in the oven, and it's done, right? I'm trying just to tell you how important that could be. Just to do a simple little act of kindness, something that's selfless. Now, what about just a word of encouragement to somebody? You know, what about letting somebody know that you're praying for them? That doesn't cost you anything, does it? You know, you perhaps know and perhaps don't know. Maybe just God lays it upon your heart to tell them, you know what, I'm praying for you. God told me to pray for you and I'm praying for you. I mean, doesn't that pick you up? I mean, doesn't that, wow, a lot of people tell me they're praying for me. And I'm thinking, boy, what a mess I'd be if you weren't. Did you agree with that?
Baptist agreed with that. Yeah, that's right. He would be such a kind of surprised me. Okay, now she's trying to back up a little bit. But the point is, we can encourage people. You know, we all got these things called phones. And unfortunately, a whole lot of people use them for bad things, right? Wouldn't it be pretty nice to use your phone to take a little bit of time to encourage somebody? I mean, you could just type, put it in a text, praying for you. Couldn't you? I mean, doesn't that kind of pick you up a little bit? Like, yeah, you could send. We have so many ways to communicate now with this phone. They're not always good, but, you know, there's all kind of, we can email, we can text, we can chat, we can all kind of stuff there. Some stuff I don't even know I'm not into it that much. But the point, I'm not on social media, by the way. But the point is, we have so many ways to communicate, and you don't know what a word of encouragement, either spoken or written, might have, the effect it might have on somebody. You know, I think I'm going to stop right there. We're going to continue to look at Barnabas and other ways. But the main way today that we've looked at ways to encourage is by giving to others. By giving to others. It could be things like, hey, I'll help you with that. But wouldn't that be a blessing? We went down to Twin Rivers Friday evening to their vacation Bible school so that we, and they very graciously through the years, for several years now, we borrowed or used their decorations because we're on the same theme. We all use Answers in Genesis, the Vacation Bible School material. And so we load the truck up and we bring it stuff up here or whatever vehicle we might have. We load them up and bring stuff up here and we use it. Praise the Lord. It helps us in our decorating. Y'all agree that's a help? And Friday, I was pretty tired. I don't know about y'all, but it seemed like Friday was one of those really, really, really hot days. And we had to mow some grass, our grass in Williamstown, which doesn't take that long. But let me tell you, I was hot, I was tired, I was worn out. And they're showing me all this stuff that we, and I'm thinking, how in the world, and I'm a pretty good packer, but my brain was really tired. It really was. I'm like, I just don't know. I couldn't get this one part of fence apart. I didn't see the screw on the other side. It was kind of dark out there outside in the church parking lot near the church, but I couldn't see. And guess what? You know what? Someone came up and like, do you need some help? This is a friend of mine. And he said, yeah. So he came. He noticed there were screws in the fence that I didn't see. He took them out. And you know what? It was like, how we get all this stuff? And he kind of took the lead in packing the truck. Man, what a blessing that was. I simply say that to make the point. It doesn't take a whole lot to make somebody's day. Right? How can we be an encouragement to others by giving to others our time, our resources perhaps, being thoughtful, little things like cards, tracts, or texts that is, basically emails, calls. It doesn't take a lot, but you don't know what of an impact that might be. Today, as we land this plane about encouragement, we've been looking at where can we find encouragement from fellow believers. Four folks in Scripture, Titus, Tychicus, Philemon, Barnabas, all mentioned in the context of encouragement. And today we started looking at four ways to be an encouragement to others, demonstrated by Barnabas. And all we got covered was number one, way to be an encouragement, by giving to others. By giving to others. Now I have several questions for you, okay? Several questions, at least since we, as far as we got, just two maybe. If you wouldn't mind bowing your head and closing your eyes for just a moment. As I ask these questions, I want you to consider them. And really, nobody's going to know the answer to this probably but you and God. In the area of encouragement. Number one, would a good nickname for you be Encourager? Would a good nickname for you be Encourager? Would other people come up with a name similar to that for you? Think about that. If you'd have to say, I don't think so, talk to God about that, would you? So say, God, help me to be such an encourager that other people know that I'm an encourager, not so I can puff myself up, but just so I can be a blessing. And the second question, do you encourage others by being selfless? Do you encourage others by being selfless in giving to them? And I'm not talking just about monetarily giving to someone. I'm talking about giving your time, your attention, your help, your resources, those thoughtful little deeds, maybe sending a card, texting, calling, messaging, emailing. Do you encourage others by being selfless? Just taking a little bit of time sometimes to think of other people. Now, that's not the world's philosophies, and that's not the way the world does it. But we as children of God ought to try to encourage one another. Do you do that by doing selfless things toward other people? If God is speaking to your heart in that area, say, you know what, preacher, if I was honest, I'd have to say no. I'm pretty wrapped up in my world right now. Well, one of the huge blessings of being part of a local church is the encouragement we should be giving each one another. And the last question I have for you is, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You know, we started out by saying, you know, one way that we can be encouraged is by having a relationship with God, the God of the universe, through Jesus. Let me ask you today, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure, based upon the Word of God, that you'd go to heaven? You'd have to be honest and say, you know what, when you ask that question, preacher, a question mark comes in my brain. I'm like, I'm not really sure. We're going to sing a song here in just a little bit, a song of invitation. If you have a question mark in your brain when I ask that question, or you'd say just honestly and very definitively, no, I would not go to heaven, I'd encourage you. Why don't you change that today by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's really a simple thing to do. A lot of young kids can understand it by coming and saying, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. I mean that from my heart. I want you to wash the slate clean. By saying, Lord, I believe Jesus was your son that died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And by confessing Jesus as your Savior, say, Lord, I now confess, I proclaim that Jesus is my Savior. And again, meaning all that from your heart, you can leave today and know that you're on your way to heaven. And believe me, life will be a whole lot more encouraging with the Lord on your side. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings, Lord. We had a lot more to cover today we thought we'd cover, but Lord, you feel like you wanted us to stop. But Lord, today in particular, I pray that we'll think more of others and less of ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to go out of our way to be an encouragement, Lord, to the simple things in life. Lord, life is busy and we all get so busy, Lord, but help us to look around. Help us to take the time to notice and to be a blessing and an encouragement to other people, we pray. Lord, we want people not to feel like they've been basically forced to eat guacamole or blue cheese, but Lord, I pray that it'll be as good as Moose Tracks ice cream, Lord, when they meet us. It'll encourage them. It'll pick them up. We pray this in Jesus' name.